Welcome to Next Talk, powered by Compass Group. We're discussing how today's climate will impact the future of on-site food service. Bringing together the most innovative thought leaders, this series will explore how we adapt to the new normal, contribute to a successful outcome, and help lead the industry for the long term. Joining us today on Next Talk is Keith Durst, principal at FOC, a full-service strategic advisory firm focused on working with restaurants, retail, and hotels to create value through hospitality-driven experiences. Also with us is Anthony Gargiulo, Envision Group's Senior Vice President of Design Innovation and Transformation. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Anthony. Laura, thanks very much for having me. And I'm always super excited, Anthony, to be able to do anything with you guys over at Compass, and have a tremendous amount of respect for everything that you guys have done and the work that you do. And we just love the opportunity that we get to collaborate with you guys in any way.
They're doing a lot of great things in curating hospitality experiences in our industry and connecting with some of the businesses best, you know, if you're talking architect or design or culinary. But really doing some amazing things. So Keith, truly appreciate you making the time and joining us today.
Our current food service model is rapidly evolving, and you both actively counsel dining operations on how we need to adapt and plan for different revenue streams. As some states are starting to reopen, Keith, can you tell us what changes are you seeing already?
Yeah, so we're seeing, well, and that's a really good question, because as you say, as some states, and I think this is even evolving day to day and certainly week to week right now, and seeing some states down south, Texas in particular, states that have a lot of space as compared to states that are states and cities that are much more congested. So what we're seeing like right away now is significant differences in delivery boxes that are being done from different groups. Expanding counter services in different areas. And in states that have a lot of space, especially down in Texas and down south, we're seeing the use of parking lots and outdoor areas to be kind of taken over and consumed by the restaurants for using of space for either picking up or creating more exterior space. We've spent a bunch of time talking to some really large restaurant groups that are really finding that they're filling up outside, even when it's a little too close for comfort outside, but people are willing to spend a lot more time and be in larger space, larger groups outside than they are inside. So we're definitely seeing that in terms of the actual restaurant space, and now in terms of the space where people are meeting and congregating in office and other, we're hearing and seeing that people are really going to start taking larger spaces, creating areas with smaller groups within the larger spaces, take commandeering office spaces and conference room spaces and turning them into small private dining areas for smaller groups of people. I think that's a big thing that we're starting to see. And in cities, we're really planning for the elevator problem, which is really something that hasn't been solved and that we're working with several different groups in terms of trying to solve for that main issue there.
You had mentioned the expanding the counter service. Can you expand on that a little bit? And does that involve the coffee bar concept, or what does that really entail?
Yeah, I mean, the coffee bar concept is very critical. And the reason why we think that's so critical and this counter service and even pre-ordering and expanding the counter that way is because that's the one thing that we think is going to come back the hardest and the fastest is, you know, we always used to refer to coffee service, really good coffee service, as a gateway drug. If you let me get you to drink really good coffee on a regular basis, and I can get you to spend $4 or $5 on coffee on a regular basis, pretty soon you're going to be eating better lunches, you're going to be going to better dinners, and it's really going to expand your palate and allow you to taste things a little differently. And this expanded counter services where people are going to be able to go pick up, take things to go, and be using spaces in a way that they kind of hadn't used before, in terms of standing, less sitting, more standing, space in between people. We think it's really going to be critical, especially in office building, office environments, being able to create these spaces that will allow for a little bit of room where standing in between And the coffee component, we think, is the first thing that people want to get back to and have a really good coffee to get their day started.
From a Compass perspective, you know, we're looking to make all of the necessary modifications on our end to ensure that our infrastructure now is what it needs to be, that we're addressing, you know, the consumer confidence and trust, but at the end of the day, that, you know, we're making it safe for people to get back to work and engage. I mean, initially, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle with trusting anyone other than themselves to make their meals. They're going to struggle with sitting next to coworkers or engaging in communal spaces. But that said, I think it's critical that we start to align with some of those strategies that Keith mentioned, align with our clients first and foremost on how to get to a mutual strategy to reopen. So, I mean, we're looking at all of the above, and we're definitely dialing into, you know, things like pickup and drop off and takeout, which have become mainstays. We're looking at our footprints and ensuring that we're starting to right size our business. We're looking at our menus, ensuring that we're creating these curated, customizable menus, but that menus that are affordable, that are desired options that start to drive, you know, some margins or better margins and reduce food waste. Excuse me. And we're also looking at how to start to monetize new verticals, whether that be in grocery or delivery and home meal kits and partnerships, and potentially even start to look at extending retail, both in store and online. There are things we can do short term and long term, and the short term is maybe look at hours of operation and how do we flex our meal periods and maybe even provide our guests with some options to reserve their favorite table. Keith, you just mentioned this, right? How do they get to reserve their favorite table in the cafe and maybe create that experience with the people they feel comfortable with in the zone that they control? So these are all, you know, ways that we're looking to get back on our feet.
The first point that I'd like to address that you touched on is rethinking menus and rethinking margins. And there are half a dozen of these really great restaurant groups that we work with that are really, you know, looking to streamline and understand what it is that's sold best, what it is that they can do and make a little bit better than they'd be able to do normally, and reduce kind of luxury proteins and make some changes so that they can really start to understand how to get their margins right, how to get their food costs right, how to make great pasta dishes, how to make great chicken on rice. I mean, I think is a good example. Downtown, a couple of chefs that we work with, one that's been doing some of these meals for either World Central Kitchen and different groups, and just the idea that, you know, you could have Ignacio Matos make you, you know, chicken over rice. He can make you a delicious chicken over rice, and we can sell it for $10 to $12. And just the feeling of it and the packaging of it and knowing that it came from his kitchen is going to make that intense experience a little bit better while you're sitting down to have things like that. And I think it's going to be very important that all the groups that we're thinking of, and you guys also, is kind of really finding ways to use the different raw materials that you guys are starting with, the different proteins, the different produce people, and you guys have the best access to all of the right stuff anyway. And really, like, take this as a step back to sit back and say, we have to redo our model on these food costs. And this is going to one of those things that we're going to be looking at right away. And you're talking about boxes and grocery boxes and how can we, you know, almost create a zero waste experience so that what we're using and what we're not using is ending up in grocery boxes. And I think that these points that you're making, Anthony, and time is so, we're trying to help a couple groups reopen their office. And we truly believe that because the elevators are going to be such a problem, only allowing 1, 2, or 4 people into an elevator, that people are going to show up for work a little bit on the early side. But we think that people are going to want to be on their way out the door at 4 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. And we're going to want to make sure, and you're going to want your people having those grocery boxes and those home kits ready to go so that at, you know, they finish lunch maybe at 12:31, but they haven't left their space. You know, they haven't left their, they haven't been able to take their breaks and walk around.
Yeah. All the more reason, Keith, to kind of diversify where and how we can get people to connect with food, right? And it's all about giving them more options and having, you know, not only the real estate spread out, but also where we service our solutions to be more spread out. So it's connecting, you know, having them to have options to connect better with food, I think is right on point.
Well, let's keep talking about that, because that is the beauty and the challenge for us, right? Is that food quite simply brings people together, but how do we create those connections that everyone's craving while keeping them safe? I think the grocerant or the grocery restaurant combination is an example of it, but how else, what else do we do to create that connection, but also keep everyone safe?
You know, I think that this is a chance and an opportunity now for you guys to have some meaningful relationships with chefs, restaurants, and your guests and your customers, and kind of get them interacting together, even if it's a remote interaction. If it's this grocery box that you've put together and you've got somebody great in your organization is going to walk people through how to prepare that properly and do it in a fashion where they're taking questions and answers and really making sure that people are set up for success at home. Because the last thing you want to do is take one of the, you know, take a grocery box. And I'm sure that lots of your guests and customers, just like mine, have tried these different food kit services, and they're just not, they're not really done the way you want them done. We want to make these things simple and easy and fun and not a headache to do. And I think you guys being able to preserve that properly, and you put systems in place that you put in place in your kitchens and make them simple for people to deal with, and then provide them like that connectivity. And that's just at the home part. And in the office piece, I think that, again, I think that there's going to be a very small percentage of staffers returning to office and workers returning to office at first. What we're talking about in our Midtown, with our Midtown groups, is maybe 20 to 30% of workers coming back, you know, before the end of fall, and maybe before the end of the year, maybe it stretches to 40%. So there's going to be a lot of space that's not being used. And I think that if you take some of those larger rooms and just set them up and make sure that they've got good circulation and things like that, and you guys, and almost like certified by Compass, you know, this room is certified, you know, in terms of standards and all those things that you guys, you know, are, you know, diligent with and get to like put that mark on. I think people need to feel that reassurance, you know, whether it's the word certified or safe or whatever those things are, and really, like, you know, the guest's kind of bill of rights in terms of what these things look like. I feel like, you know, again, these are things that kind of come very naturally to your organization, and that the reason why you have the clients that you have. And for me too, we're in the process of coming up with the same kind of system that we won't do anything that falls outside of these guidelines. Some of our guests and buildings are going to have guidelines that are going to be more stringent, but we're going to have our own minimum standards to follow, and that we're going to expect everybody we work with to maintain.
Marlon, you hit it on the head, Keith. I mean, we've always held some really high standards, but Laura, I mean, that's the key question, right? Safety. Safety right now is center of the plate. And once we finally open our doors, it's going to come down to what is now being referred to as the four S's. I think, Keith, you and I talked about this the other day. But people are going to be really focused on safety and signage around how we communicate with them, and sanitation, social distancing. And then everything we do needs to ensure that those four measures are taken into very high consideration. And if I look at even some of the data that's coming out of Data Central these days, I mean, people, they're going to want to see regularly in how we, you know, wipe down our tables and our kiosks and make sure that we clean anything that we touch. They're going to want to require more food to be covered, more sneeze guards, more closed cases. They're going to want to see all the employees in proper attire. They're going to want to see more spacing between tables, and they're going to want everything to be touchless. It's a challenge, but I think a challenge and an opportunity all at the same time. It's up to us to start to create those new comfort zones that they're going to want to interact in.
So the short-term focus clearly is how do we reopen? But let's now talk about the long-term focus and how do we design for the future? Keith, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things. I think first, I think if we get some of these short-term things correct, I think that they can turn into long-term revenue streams. So I think that we don't want to lose sight of that. I don't think we want these things to be a Band-Aid. I think we want some of these things to become part of a long-term strategy. And then talking about long-term otherwise, I think that there's always going to have to be, we never used to think about phasing things as often as we think about them now, in terms of getting something back up and operational and back to normal, and really like understanding the mechanics behind some of the things, the mechanics behind the cleaning, the mechanics behind sanitization, the mechanics behind the actual operation and design and layout of a restaurant dining room. You know, we're so focused in the past on having a buzzy room, having an exciting room, making sure that we have the lighting 100% right, making sure that you have the music right, making sure you have all these different things that, so that you can, making sure you have this like Instagrammable situation, all these things happening. And now we're going to have to take that and also make sure that we have good circulation, which is something in the past, sometimes we talked about not wanting to have bar stools with backs on the bar, so that it meant that it was more likely that people would be willing to push up against one another and create even less space and create more vibe and more buzz. And now we need to find that intersection in the Venn diagram where buzz and excitement and life of a restaurant also meets with circulation and airflow and all these other things that are happening. I don't think a restaurant can just be a restaurant again for a long time. It has to be, you know, Laura, I don't know if I got the word right, the grocery restaurant combination has to be some of that. It has to be more delivery. It has to be more catering. It has to be more meal kits. It has to be more affordable lunches and things. And people are going to have to think about it in that way. And I think if we can get some of that stuff right now, we can really like find the proper crossover.
We have an opportunity in our cafes, in our marketplaces, in our seating environments on how to activate space differently. Even looking at outdoor space and how do we do more with outdoor space and how do we continue to widen our footprint and give more personal space to everyone, because we have the luxury of repurposing some underutilized environment and underutilized space, all in the effort to be more functional, to be more flexible, provide more options, both for our guests to connect with themselves, but also connect just over a meal. Like Keith, I believe that the short-term solutions will evolve into more long-term strategies where mobile ordering and automated delivery become key to making it easy for our guests to get exactly what they want without losing that human connection altogether, not with each other, not with us, and not with their community.
And I think that's an interesting point. So do you think it's somewhat of a shift in our mindset that we need to be more mindful of utilizing space and then also serving guests throughout their day?
I want to go back to that grocerant model, because we are and have been for a while on that page. And now we're starting to look at concepts like the market cafe. So currently under development, but we're building off of a market concept that we launched 4 years ago. Keith, you and I discussed the whole concept of market as well. Much like a grocerant, it starts to create those environments that not only address the 4 S's as we talked about to keep people safe, but also starts to do a really good job on the delivery of fresh food and convenience and take home. And to your last point, Keith, all supported by this touchless technology, very seamless and contactless way in order to engage with food. But we need to look at how to reinvent on delivery. We need to rethink fresh food and elevate retail and add grocery and convenience and pickup and drop off and all of these things that will make it easier for our customers to connect with what they want. But it all has to be balanced with this touchless approach to order and pay. And when we're done, the goals are simple. I think we're just here to protect our people, support our clients, deliver quality experiences, but remain human throughout that entire process.
The market experience that you had told me about with that market table that you had set up and done, and like the idea of being able to like market that into a way that, yes, you're going to be able to eat and have what you have when you're at the office, but then have somebody thoughtfully like put something together for you to be able to take home from that, and kind of have the abundance of that to kind of understand and work from and be able to pull through. I mean, I just think that's a really great opportunity to kind of, because it's just, you know, there has to be some of that connection, right?
Well, that's the connection to community, the connection to things that you know and love. And I want to tie that into something you said earlier, Keith, about, you know, we have access to some of the country's best chefs, not only through Compass, but through partners like yourself. And the opportunity now is how do we innovate together to engage these chefs and transport some of those culinary experiences, not just only in our cafes, but maybe package them up to go. I mean, this is it's so big. And again, I get really excited when I start talking about things like that because there's so much opportunity.
Compass Group, you know, we're seeing the positive in this situation, which is that we have a global opportunity to reconnect through food. And I think that's exactly what you both are exploring through a lot of different avenues. We would like to close out each episode with a speed round as a way for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better. Anthony has already answered on a previous podcast. So, Keith, we will start with you. What are you most excited about doing once social distancing is over?
I'm most excited about taking my daughter out for sushi. She loves it. And her and I go out for a sushi dinner at our favorite little sushi restaurant in the East Village called Shuko every time she gets a great report card or something great happens. So I'm really looking forward to getting to spend some time just with her sitting there at the counter. When things are really good there and it's really kicking off there, the sushi chefs let her come behind the counter and do a little bit of the prep work too. So it's fantastic.
Oh, wow. That's really special. Is there something anything that you started doing during stay at home that you want to keep going?
We've been calling the restaurants directly and then going to the restaurants and picking up our to-go and our delivery orders and paying for them at the restaurant so that the restaurant gets 100% of the fee, 100% of the money for everything they do. And for us, I think that that's a change that we'd like to try to continue and really like go out of our way to give that back to the community, which I think is really important.
And do you and your daughter have a top choice right now between a puzzle, a podcast, a board game, a good movie, or a book?
So that's a good question. I'd say we've been playing a lot more Jenga, which is something that I didn't really get that much into before. And I think it's a pretty good group activity. And my wife and daughter and I kind of get together with that. And then my mother's been spending a lot more time with us as well. So I think it's something, you know, we kind of forgot about, like those board games and group games and things like that. And I think that's something that we'd like to stick, like hang on to a little bit also.
A little fun competition is always in order. Our family loves it too.
It is. It is. Indeed. Indeed.
Well, thank you both so much for your time. And we really do look forward to navigating what's next together.
We want to keep this conversation going. Join us at compassgroup.podbean.com to listen to a new episode every week. If you have questions or a request, send them to envisiongroup@compass-usa.com. Until then, be safe and be well.